Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you with us this evening as we are every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And tonight we have a wonderful, wonderful lesson by Dr. James Nooks. So would you please, as we go into devotion, join us and we'll have song, scripture, and prayer. And the song tonight is going to be Yolanda Adams, Open My Heart.
I'm
Scripture, and Amen. Then I'll lead us in prayer.
Amen. Our scripture is coming to us from 2 Peter 1, verses 3 through 15, and I'm going to read it from the Message tonight. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God. The best invitation we ever received. We were also given absolutely terrific promises to pass on to you. Your tickets to participation in the life of God after you turned your back on a world corrupted by lust. So don't lose a minute in building on what you've been given, complementing your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, and generous love, each dimension fitting into and developing the others. With these qualities active and growing in your lives, no grass will grow under your feet. No day will pass without its reward as you mature in your experience of our Master Jesus. Without these qualities, you can't see what's right before you, oblivious that your old sinful life has been wiped off the books. So friends, confirm God's invitation to you, His choice of you. Don't put it off. Do it now. Do this, and you'll have your life on a firm footing, the streets paved and the way wide open into the eternal kingdom of our Master and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because the stakes are so high, even though you're up to date on all this truth and practice it inside and out, I'm not going to let up for a minute in calling you to attention before it. This is the post to which I've been assigned, keeping you alert with frequent reminders, and I'm sticking to it as long as I live. I know that I'm to die soon. The Master has made that quite clear to me. And so I am especially eager that you have all this down in black and white so that after I die, you'll have it for ready reference. God has a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of His word, for it is the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Dr. Nooks, can we all go together and Brother Brett and Eric go to the Lord in prayer? God, we come before You and we praise You. We glorify You. We just thank You so much for blessing us tonight that we can even come to a place of prayer and study. Well, because of You, we've gathered with our hearts beneath our knees, and we are like a pitcher, empty pitcher before a full fountain, coming to You to be filled. Lord, we're just asking tonight that we would be able to fully understand what it means to talk about progressive and continual growth. We praise You, Lord, because we know You are able to do all things. And with that, we know our lives will be transformed, that tonight we won't be the same as we were 30 minutes ago, that we'll continue to take Your word, use it, O God, to apply it to our lives so that we can be stronger, we can be better, we can be more like You. So work with us, Lord, and give us the patience and open our eyes in areas that we just don't know what we're doing, areas of where we've never seen before, we've never been enlightened before, because we know as we study and mature, we learn more and more of You. So we ask that tonight as we come And Dr. Nooks is going to lead us. Bless him, Lord. Help him to teach, guide, and direct us according to your word. We just thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So, for those of you who are here on the line tonight, we have been studying for the month of October, and Dr. Nooks has been the blessing. He has been so instrumental in teaching us about accountability of living a Christian life. And we are so excited about it. And the foundational test has been Jeremiah. And as a result, we have just grown, and we are looking forward to learning more tonight. We've had excellent teachers, and Dr. Nooks is an excellent instructor, and we're just asking that all of you would join us tonight and we could grow together as we are stretched, because each of us is from different backgrounds and faiths. We don't profess to all be the same, but we are tolerant to learn from one another and to listen to one another. And so as we go forth, we're excited about learning what it means to be progressive and to have continual growth. So, Dr. Nooks, if you are ready, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Susie. Good evening, my sisters and brothers. And we're in this study about being accountable in our Christian lives. And one thing that we need to be accountable for is to have progressive and continual growth. I remember before I got saved, I had the opinion when I was very young that if I did get saved, that everything would change, and that the things that bothered me, the things I thought were wrong, all of a sudden I would no longer have those desires. I would no longer have any concerns. I'd give my life to Christ, and everything will be peachy and wonderful. And I was surprised to learn that is not true. And I needed to grow. I needed to learn some things. And I think sometimes my sisters and brothers that are online, we have that opinion. And there's something that we need to be accountable for in our Christian lives, and that is to have progressive and continual growth. And when I use the term progressive and continual growth, I'd just like to hear from, you know, Brett and Brother Eric and Dr. Susie. What does that mean to you when we talk about progressive and continual growth? What can we say to our listeners that that means to them as far as being accountable in their Christian lives? Do we need to have progressive and continual growth?
Absolutely,
yes.
We need to have progressive and continual growth. No ifs, ands, or buts about that, Dr. Nooks. We do. And the Bible tells us, when we understand that when we're on a journey, and as we're on this journey, we are striving to be more like Christ, and we know how far we are from obtaining that. And as we, the longer we're on this journey, I think the more we realize that. I think we're kind of naive when it begins, but as we go through, we realize that the Christian journey is a challenging one, but it's not impossible. We can do all things through Christ, but we can't do it alone. And I think that's one of the first things that we learn. So, yes, Dr. Nooks, it is appropriate. It is something we want to glean on how to do better as we go through this life. And we need to pat ourselves on the back when we do better, you know.
Amen.
Encouraging
Amen.
Ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, this is Eric. Don't pat ourselves on the back too much, because it ain't all us.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is that oftentimes we beat ourselves up, Eric. We never affirm when we've been obedient. And sometimes we have to say, you're doing a good job. You know, hang in there. Don't keep beating yourself up. You know, because I think we beat ourselves up enough, more than those of us who are striving to do everything that God would have us do. And we don't affirm what God is doing in us enough.
Well, that's kind of what I was getting at. I wasn't, you know, disagreeing with you, but we need to affirm that God has worked in us enough for us to realize that we are getting better by his guidance and his direction. Because what happens is that we become saved, and as Dr. Nick said, we think that everything is peachy keen, and it's not. The journey has just begun in all aspects of that, because, you know, if the devil already has it, he doesn't have to work to get you. So,
amen.
You know, but when you accept Christ, then becomes the struggle, literal battle for, you know, your soul. And so at that point, yeah, we do need to spend that time in fellowship and in prayer and in worship and in conversation and in small groups and in large groups, understanding what the Lord is calling us to do and what he's calling us to be, and being able that when we have immoral thoughts, or when we do things that are not Christ-like, or when we, you know, say things or act in a way that is not befitting of what God or Christ would have us to do, that we come to our senses as David would and confess our sins and ask for forgiveness and repentance, and then look not to do that same thing over and over and over again. That is the progressive part, is that we need to look daily to be better than we were the day before.
Amen.
But when we fall short of that, we need to be humble enough to confess that we were not as good as we were the day before, and ask the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us that we can become better than what we was at that particular point in time.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
This is Brett.
Yeah, Brett.
My thoughts on it is, every day that God allows you to wake up is a day that you should know something new. You should strive to be better than you were the day before. One of the things that we do every day when we get up, even though we see everything that looks familiar, but it is really not. It is something brand new. Because we hadn't seen the growth through the night where the grass and the trees and the plants have grown. And God is that way with us. The word that gets into us when we accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, from that point on, we are growing, or should be growing, in the spiritual realm like we do out here in the street. You find people out here are posting stuff on Facebook all the time about recipes, this, and how to cook this and how to do that. But nobody puts on there anything that is worth anything about talking about the Spirit of God, how we should be acting, what we should be doing. And the thing is that each and every day we should strive to do something more Christ-like than we did the day before. If it's nothing but controlling your anger, if it's about you and somebody else that have had words that have split you apart, it's time to mend those fences. God doesn't want you to
Amen.
Be ugly. It is about love.
Amen.
And when you read the Bible, you'll find out throughout the whole Bible, God talks about the love. I'm done.
Amen.
Yeah. Dr. Nooks, this is Isaiah 57:15-16. And this is something that I just actually started reading a couple days ago daily, but I think it's most appropriate as we have this conversation.
This is the New Living Translation, Isaiah 57:15-16. The high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, the Holy One, says this: I live in the high and holy place with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. I refresh the humble and give new courage to those with repentant hearts. For I will not always fight against you forever. I will not always show my anger. If I did, all people would pass away, all the souls I have made. And so as we talk about that progressive, trying to learn, God is telling us that in that process, he himself, his spirit lives with the contrite and humble, and he refreshes the
Amen.
Humble and gives new courage to those with repentant hearts. So in that process of progressive, you know, we need to understand that we have all fallen short. And when we realize that and have repentant hearts, that gives God the opportunity to give us the courage to move to the next level.
Amen. Amen. So we're talking about progressive and continual growth, and of course the progress means that you're advancing, you're moving somewhere, you're going to somewhere where you haven't been before, you're progressing, and continual means that your growth is not going to stop. So it's continual and progressive. And I think that's so important to our listeners to understand, is that we need to have that progressive and continual growth, and all the comments that were made are very much appreciated. I'd like for us to read our text again from 2 Peter 1:3-15. Does somebody have that they can read for us? And it can be in either I read the message. So if somebody has the message, or somebody has the New King James, if they have the New International Version, whatever version you have. I want to read it in two different versions, and I want to discuss how we are to grow from this text.
What is it again, Dr. Nook? 2 Peter?
2 Peter 1:3-15. And it goes along with the text that you gave, Brother Eric, from Isaiah.
This is the New Living Translation. 2 Peter 1:3-15. As we know Jesus better, his divine power gives us everything we need for living a good life. He has called us to receive his own glory and goodness. And by the same mighty power, he has given us all of his rich and wonderful promises. He has promised that you will escape the decadence all around you caused by evil desires, and that you will share in his divine nature. So make every effort to apply the benefits of these promises to your life. Then your faith will produce a life of moral excellence. A life of moral excellence will produce, a life of moral excellence leads to knowing God better. Knowing God leads to self-control. Self-control leads to patient endurance. And patient endurance leads to godliness. Godliness leads to love for other Christians. And finally, you will grow to have genuine love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more you'll become productive and useful in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop these virtues are blind, or at least very short-sighted. They have already forgotten that God has cleansed them from their old life of sin. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do this. You will never stumble. Doing this, you will never stumble or fall away, and God will open wide the gate of heaven for you to enter into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ and Savior. I plan to keep on reminding you of these things, even though you already knew them, and are standing firm in the truth. Yes, I believe I should keep on reminding you of these things as long as you live. But the Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that my days here on earth are numbered and I am soon to die. So I will work hard to make these things clear to you. I want you to remember them long after I am gone.
Amen. Amen. So does anyone have it in the message? Dr. Susie, do you have it in the message?
I don't have it, Dr. Nux. But
okay.
I can get it and just
I can read.
Okay,
okay,
go ahead.
Second Peter 1:3-15. And I'll read it in the message. And then we'll discuss this about how we are to grow. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God. The best invitation we ever received. We were also given absolutely terrific promises to pass on to you, your tickets to participation in the life of God after you turn your back on a world corrupted by lust. So don't lose a minute in building on what you've been given, complementing your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, and generous love, each dimension fitting into and developing the others. With these qualities active and growing in your lives, no grass will grow under your feet. No day will pass without its reward as you mature in your experience of our Master Jesus. Without these qualities, you can't see what's right before you, oblivious that your old sinful life has been wiped off the books. So friends, confirm God's invitation to you, his choice of you. Don't put it off. Do it now. Do this and you'll have your life on a firm footing, the streets paved and the way wide open into the eternal kingdom of our Master and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because the stakes are so high, even though you're up to date on all this truth and practice it inside and out, I'm not going to let up for a minute in calling you to your attention before it. This is the post to which I've been assigned, keeping you alert with frequent reminders, and I'm sticking to it as long as I live. I know that I'm to die soon. The Master has made that quite clear to me, and so I am especially eager that you have all this down in black and white, so that after I die, you'll have it for ready reference. God's word for the people of God. So I ask the question of our participants tonight, how are we to grow based on our text that we just read? What are some things that we need to do? So I'm going to call your attention like to verse 5, where it says, but also for this reason, yes, go ahead.
Dr. Nook, I was on mute. I was trying to say something. I read mine in the New Living, and you read yours in the Message.
Yeah.
But I want to read verse 5 through
somebody's
7.
Somebody's got a lot of noise
James.
Going on. Put your phones on mute, please. Okay, go ahead.
I want to read that in the King James Version because this gets to the crux of your question.
Okay.
And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue
Amen.
Knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And so
Amen.
There is a progression of what we need to be working, that our faith in Christ Jesus should be leading us to virtue. It should be leading us to knowledge, the knowledge of Christ and God. It should be
All right.
leading us to temperance, not to be flying off the handle, and to be calm with people, and to temperance, patience, having patience with people, and not trying to get our own way, but being that in godliness, being God-like and Christ-like to people, especially to the brothers, and then from the brothers, to everyone, to show genuine
Amen.
Love for everyone.
Yeah, amen. Amen. For if these things are yours,
that,
and abound,
that should be the progression.
Amen. Amen. So the question is, how do we do this? And add to your basic faith virtue. I mean, this progression, help our listeners understand how we can do this, how we can grow. Because we know that we need to grow. I mean, it tells us right here in our text in 2 Peter 1 that we need to add to our basic faith, virtue and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness and love.
But Dr. Nook, what I need for our brothers and sisters to know on this blog and this call is we can't do that in our own strength. And Galatians
Amen.
5 tells us that at 22, but when the Holy Spirit controls your life, He will produce these kind of fruits in you: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It could, you know, Paul clearly tells us that we can't do that on our own, because prior to that in 19, he goes through a whole list of stuff that we have a desire to do if the Holy Spirit isn't controlling us.
Amen.
And that list is pretty damning.
Yes.
So what we need is that once we accept Christ, then we need to start letting the Holy Spirit guide and direct us. And the only way that I know, and if somebody else has another way, please chime in. The only way I know to do that is to spend more than a Wednesday evening, Tuesday evening Bible study 4 hour, Wednesday evening Bible study 4 hour, and a couple hours
All right.
of service on Sunday. I mean, you got to have a walking, talking, working relationship with God and Jesus Christ. And the only way you do that is to be with them as much as you possibly can daily.
Amen.
And spending time in the Word, and spending time in prayer, and spending time in small groups, and spending time in talking to people, and spending time on your commute of praying and letting the Lord guide and direct you. That's the only way I know. Now, if somebody knows of another way, I'd love to hear it, but that's the only way I know.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And Brother Eric, Peter says that, and you know, in the third verse, he says that his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So the ability to have, he says, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. So we can't do it by ourselves, just as you said. It's got to, in order to do this, it has to come from divine power. And it's verse 4 says, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. So God has given us promises. God has given us the ability to go through that progression. But we've got to be willing to be submissive to God's will, don't we? If we think we can figure this thing out on our own, and that's what we try to do, we get the big head and we think that you know, we can, in order to have virtue, I need to do this. In order to have knowledge, I need to do this. And we leave out God, then we've missed the boat. We can't do it. This is as Brother Eric said. And I think that's what Satan is trying to get us to do, is to think that we can do these things under our own power. You know, I need virtue, so, you know, I need to think about how I can have virtue instead of saying, God, give me virtue, instead of thinking about I'm going to have knowledge by just reading and studying, and I'm going to understand without saying, give me an understanding through the Holy Spirit. God, I give my life to you. Direct me. Instead of doing that, we think we can read enough and we can study enough and then we can understand God and what God would have for me without yielding my life to God. I mean, it's just like saying, I'm going to understand how to heal, and I don't even understand the body. I have not even given myself over to understanding the body, and that's what we do. And so often when we get away from God and the Holy Spirit directing us, then we try to figure all this stuff out by ourselves, and it never works. We certainly don't get to the point of loving people. So, I mean, going through all those steps, and what we're supposed to do is growth, progressive and continual growth. We need to have God on our side. We need to be submissive to God's will. So my sisters and brothers that are on the line, what do you think about that? And I know Eric has already sort of expressed that, but yes.
Dr. Nook, this is Brett. I want to interject something here, and I agree with Eric. One of the things that you have to understand for anybody that's listening and anybody that is thinking about confessing and giving their life to Christ, as in anything, it takes a faith and it takes practice. The most powerful tool that you have besides your eyes is prayer. Everything will be clear to you when you pray wholeheartedly, not looking for a motive, but God would answer your prayers. Prayer will change things.
Amen.
Everything is possible if you only believe. That is not a joke. As you
Amen.
Get into the Word, as you read more, as you understand what has been written, it doesn't take anybody to interpret the Bible. It is written very plainly. When you read it and you understand, you have that comprehension, then God is telling you what you need to do. All you got to do is follow in His footsteps. And part of that is praying. And if you're saying, well, I don't have time to pray. Yeah, you do. When you're on that bus, getting ready to go to work, you got time to pray from the time you get on until the time you get off. If you're driving in your car, from the time you get in your car until the time you get to work or wherever your destination is, you have time to pray. And if you don't think you have a prayer, let me tell you, as you get into your faith. Now, I live in Indianapolis. My cousins are in Louisville, Kentucky. That's 125 miles. I have gotten in my car and driven and prayed every step of the way from Indianapolis to Louisville. As you grow in your faith, you'll find that your prayers will be answered. Somebody calls you about a family member or somebody that's sick. You can pray for them, and that person will get better. We don't know what the situation is. We're not God. We can't prolong life, but we can pray about it, and that intercessory prayer will allow that person to get better from where they were when you started until the time you end your prayer. But you have to have the faith. You have to act on faith. And faith is not about stuff that you can touch. It's not like the bed you sit on, or the chair you sit on, or your computer, or your phone that you're holding in your hands as you're listening to us. It is about faith. Just like you can't see the wind blow, but when the wind blows, you see the damage you can do when it gets high. God can do the same thing, but He creates. He creates instead of destroying.
Yep.
Okay, I'm done.
All right.
You're preaching there, Eric.
Let me say that. this is Eric. Brett, let me add this. In this,
go ahead.
As I remember from Nehemiah, sometimes it don't have to be a long prayer. Nehemiah was concerned about Jerusalem and wanted to go back and rebuild the wall and was standing before the king. And this is directly from Nehemiah chapter 2, starting, this is verse 4. The king asked, well, how can I help you? With a prayer to God of heaven. And Nehemiah prayed just a quick prayer. God, what can I tell this king that will make him help me? So that king had no desire on really helping him. And with a short prayer just before he got ready to answer the king, the Lord told him what to say, and the king granted it. So you're absolutely right. It doesn't have to be a 120-mile drive. It can be a two-second, hey, Lord, what do I need to do here? How do I need to proceed? What is it that you want of me?
Well, this is
right.
Your prayers
one of the things I really want us to look at is, you know, this is trying to talk to us about appealing to grow as a Christian. And we've had many, many Bible studies on Christian growth, and we know that people have to have a relationship with God, meaning that we're spiritually dead.
Amen.
Until we have that relationship with God. And then after we accept Christ, then we're babes in Christ, and we need to grow. We become children, and we grow into young adults and into adulthood, where we are accountable for making other disciples. But the reality is that there is a reason and why we're to grow. And because there are lots of people who we talk about every week who are 60, 70-year-olds, and they are infants in the Lord. And so that's why Dr. Nix continually says we have to reflect on where we are so that we can be responsible for what God had called
Amen.
Us to do. But what we need to understand is that we have everything we need. God has furnished us
Amen.
With promises. God has given
Amen.
Us the incentive. We have to utilize what God has given us to move forward. And now, I don't think that anybody is an island unto themselves. And because we are moving away from the old nature to that which is new, I always say this, whichever one you feed is the one that will grow. And Brother Eric constantly says you have to stay in the Word. You have to always be praying. You have to always do your Bible study. You have to always take that time out with God.
Amen.
Because whichever dog you feed, I'm giving you an analogy, there's two dogs. You feed one over the other. The one's going to be weaker than the other. So if you're feeding your
Amen.
New nature, that's called dog number one, new nature, dog number two, old nature. Whichever nature you're feeding is the one that will grow and be strengthened. So you have to be intentional. This is not something you can go, it's going to happen by osmosis. You have to be intentional to nurture and to grow. And
Amen.
I think that's what tonight is about. And if we don't focus on getting the type of not just intellectual knowledge, but spiritual maturity. You know, we can have knowledge all day long, but it won't do you any good until you learn wisdom. Wisdom
Amen.
Is a lot different from just having knowledge.
Amen. Dr. Susie, I don't know how much time we have tonight.
Go ahead.
I wanted just to get to look at verse 12 through 15 about reminding each other. And then I wanted us to get to Ephesians, but I don't know if we have time. Ephesians talks
let's
about
just deal
the
with
gift
it right quick,
God.
Dr. Nux.
Oh. Okay, let's look at
Okay,
2 Peter, I wanted to look at verses 12 through 15. It says, "For this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." So it's Peter wanted to remind the body.
Can I read
of Christ.
It in the message?
Yes.
May I read it? And you're talking about chapter 1, 12 through 15, right?
Yes.
Second, because the stakes are so high, even though you're up to date on all this truth and practice it inside and out, I'm not going to let up for 1 minute in calling you to attention before it. This is the post to which I've been assigned, keeping you alert with frequent reminders, and I'm sticking to it as long as I live. I know that I'm to die soon. The Master has made that quite clear to me, and so I'm especially eager that you have all this down in black and white so that after I die, you'll have it for ready reference.
Amen.
So
what role does reminding play in growth?
Okay.
Go ahead. that was what role does reminding us play in continual and progressive growth? Do we need to be reminded?
Yes, because that refreshes our mind.
Okay. And I agree. I think Satan is trying to get us to forget and not understand that, that we've even been saved. I mean, people walk around. How many people do you know? They don't even know they've been saved. I mean, it's really it's heartbreaking. I think I'm saved. One day I might be saved. And oh, I gave my life to Christ 20 years ago, but I don't know. I mean, Satan is such a mind manipulator. So we need to be reminded of the gifts that we have. We need to be reminded of how we ought to be growing, reminded that, hey, maybe we're falling short. Because it's like we have amnesia. go ahead, I'm sorry.
Would you like me to read the Ephesians passage?
Can I say this? That Dr. Nook, I think to be reminded is catalyst that we don't continue to do what we used to do, because we will fall back into what we used to do because it's comfortable, because it's familiar with us, and so we have to be reminded of that because we didn't come here being saved. And as Dr. Susie said, we've been feeding that second dog for a lot of years, and that nature is hard to give up. And so we have to be reminded as daily, as often. That's why it's so important to spend that time in prayer and in studying the Word, because that helps you, and for me, the first thing in the morning, because that should help set the tone for your day so that as you're going through the day, you can go back to, okay, I read this, okay, I should be trying to do this. I should be moving this way, and give
you
that strength to go forward.
But not only that, Brother Eric, that old dog has some pleasurable experiences. That old dog that's pleasurable, whereas when we're trying to live the new life, that's hard. That's not as fun. It's a denial of flesh. It's a struggle to change. So, you know, it's not fun either. It's
Amen.
Hard. It's challenging.
Well, it's not fun because we don't know any better, but the true experience of living is living in Christ Jesus. I mean, that's the part that I think, as Dr. Nook said, I think that's the part that Satan doesn't want us to realize, is that the true life, the most fulfilled life, is that life that is lived in Christ Jesus.
Is the most fulfilled. That's true,
correct.
But what we're programmed to
Amen.
Believe, Brother Eric, is that the other is more fun. We're programmed to believe,
absolutely.
And we wouldn't keep doing sin if it wasn't fun.
Absolutely.
We won't do stuff
that hurts. I agree.
Amen.
So,
Amen.
Ephesians 4:1 says, in light of all this, here's what I want you to do. While I'm locked up here, a prisoner for the master, I want you to get out there and walk, better yet, run on the road. God called you to travel. I don't want any one of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily pouring yourselves out. Now, this is what we need to be listening to. Should I say it again? I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. Did anybody hear that part? I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this
All
with
right.
humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily. That's what Brother Eric kept saying. Pouring yourself out for each other in acts of love, alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. Ooh. You are all called to travel on the same road and in the same direction. So stay together. Now, you know that's the hardest thing, folks. Get mad at me, I'm done with you. Both outwardly and inwardly, you have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. But that doesn't mean you should all look and speak and act the same. Come on. Out of the generosity of Christ, each of us is given his own gift. The text for this is, he climbed the high mountain, he captured the enemy and seized the booty. He handed it all out in gifts to the people. Is it not true that the one who climbed up also climbed down? Down to the valley of earth, and the one who climbed down is the one who climbed back up to highest heaven. He handed out gifts above and below, filled heaven with his gifts, filled earth with his gifts. He handed out gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, to do what? Train Christ followers in skilled servant work. Working with who? Christ's body, the church, until we all that means not one by itself, one better than the other, but all moving rhythmically and easily, this is not hard, with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, not babes, it says fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive like Christ. Now I want to read 16. It says, no prolonged infancy among us, please. Can I say that again? Eric, did you anybody hear that? No prolonged infancy, which means it reinforces the very thing that Dr. Nooks was saying, is that we have to grow. We cannot be babes and stay on milk. We'll not tolerate babes in the woods, small children who are an easy mark for imposters. God wants us to do what? Grow up, to know the whole truth and tell it. You can't just grow up and get it for yourself. You have to share it with other folks. Tell it in love, like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us, so that we will grow up, not stay the same, grow up healthy in God's robust in love. Now, if you notice something, everything culminates around one thing. If you're not acting in love, you're not grown up. I'm just going to tell you.
All right, there you go.
If you still hate people, if you don't like people because of how they look, how they smell, how they act, the color of their skin, the way their hair looks, their nationality, whatever. If you have problems and you cannot love your brother, you can't tell me you can love the Lord. We got to go back to John, the book of John.
But this is Eric. But this is Eric, and I'm going to expand on that, and this is going to cut to the quick. If you can't love them when they mistreat you, you still aren't grown up.
Amen.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When you walk away from your brother and you don't try to reconcile, to build relationships, to fix it, if you can just walk away and it means nothing to you, you're not grown up. If it doesn't bother your spirit, if it doesn't hinder you, if it doesn't irk you where you can't sleep at night and it doesn't, hey, something's wrong. You're not grown up.
Amen.
Amen.
And we need to understand that we can't grow up by ourselves.
Come
Amen.
On.
Amen.
And
you have to feed on the word.
Amen.
Go ahead, Dr. Nix.
Well, I was just going to say, I don't know how much time we have, Dr. Cincy. I know we started a little late. But
just talk, Dr. Nix. Go ahead. Just finish your talk.
Okay. Okay. Well, my thought was that God has given us each other, and this is an area that we really need to, I think, grow in, is empowering the saints to feel that they have a gift that is essential to the body of Christ, and to use and encourage them to use their gifts. The biggest things I've tried to do in my life is try to empower people and get them to understand that they are important and their gifts are important to the body of Christ. We have people that go to churches that Dr. Susie talked about sitting on your hands, and she read that, and they don't feel like they really contribute. I mean, they go there and perhaps they glean something from the message, perhaps they grow, but then understanding that they have gifts to contribute, I think it's really important, because if you feel like you're a part of and you're contributing, then you feel like you're more a part of the body. And God has given us all these gifts and he's given us what we need, and yet we walk around needy people. And it's like, you know, well, God, did you really give us these gifts? I mean, are they really there? Do I believe what you said in your word? We've been given gifts, and we see them every day, and we walk right by them, and we don't even appreciate that God has given us Dr. Susie. God has given us Brother Brett. God has given us Brother Eric. And these people have wonderful gifts that they're wanting to contribute, and they're so important to the growth of the body of Christ.
And I would say, Dr. Nix, few people even know what their spiritual gift is.
Yeah. Yeah. And some have more than one. You know, some have many. And I agree with that. But that ought to be something that we ought to be encouraging people to investigate and then to share. You know, and we talk about many of the gifts in the Bible, the gifts that you know, gifts of knowledge, gifts of wisdom, gifts of finances, gifts of administration, you know, gifts of prophecy here, the teaching, pastoring, preaching, you know, gifts of greeting. You know, there are so many gifts that people have. And God wants us to use them for the upbuilding, for the building of the body of Christ.
Right.
So we can all come together. We can all be mature. And it's just so many missed opportunities there. Go ahead, Dr.
So at this point, Dr. Nix, could we at least have from each person on the line that's listening a summarization of what they understand and glean from what it meant to be progressive and experience continual growth, progressive and continual growth for a believer? Because, I mean, we've talked about so many areas, but we do need to kind of to use take-homes. What are our take-homes tonight so that our radio audience listener can have some concrete things to hold on to?
Amen.
And Brother Eric, you want to start off with one or a couple? He's gone. Okay, Brother Brett.
Yeah. If you keep in mind the message that we have been talking about tonight, you will know, simply because it is written in the Word, that there are certain qualifications.
World.
There are certain qualifications that you have to meet in order to allow your growth to take place. The thing is, you can't hold yourself back. Follow God's Word. Follow the path that he's chosen for you, and you will find that problems that you've had in the past will disappear. And I will tell you this, not everybody that you call friend, relative, sister, brother, aunt, or whatever is going to be able to go on this journey with you. You're on a journey. You're on the path. Don't let anybody steer you away from what God is telling you to do, and keep the faith in prayer.
Amen. Brother from, who's my buddy there? Okay. Anybody else on the line? How about our Kentucky folk? Anybody from Kentucky want to say something? Brian? From Kentucky? And yes, I will have a word.
Okay. I will have a word. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
I think that as far as growth is concerned, you have to stay in the Bible. You have to stay in the Word. You have to constantly study. Because sometimes when you read that Bible, you learn some things, and then when you go back over it again, you at times see things that you didn't see before. So stay in the Word, stay in the Bible, and stay around positive people with that energy that has the Word that can bring something to you that maybe you didn't know before.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Brian. Thank you. Is there anybody else on the line who would like to share what they got from the lesson tonight? I would like to share. I think that one of the things that's germane is that I think we can say this almost every week, is that you have to have a personal relationship with God. You have to have that relationship
All
with
right.
God. It's fundamental. It's foundational. And when you have that relationship, the authentic relationship, you'll seek and desire to please the Lord. And as you desire to please God, you will have, because God will let you know, progressive and continual growth. You'll fall down, but as my brother says, we fall down, but we get up. We won't do everything perfect, but the more that we lean and depend on the Lord, the more we understand that word, the more we apply it to our lives, the more mistakes we made, the more we learn and understand, the more we step out on faith, the stronger we become. And we have to trust God for the increase. We have to trust God to know that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion.
Amen.
And so we got to believe him for it. But we got to be intentional about it. Dr. Nooks?
Come on.
Amen. I want our listeners to understand that we need to take time to reflect on ourselves. And we should have continual and progressive growth. And that ought to be a part of our accountability in our Christian lives. And so that means to take time to look at yourself and take time to prayer and in prayer and ask God to reveal ourselves to us. And also I encourage you to develop friendships where people can share. And Peter talked about reminding people of what we ought to be doing. We need to be in relationships in such a way that we have somebody that we can go to and say, hey, sister, so-and-so, you know, what do you think about this situation? Or help me to understand, am I growing? Share something about me to me so I can grow. And then I can share something about you. But we need to be in that state of reflectivity in order to grow, and help us to look at ourselves. If not, we'll just go about thinking,
Amen.
Hey, I'm a good guy. I don't need to grow. I'm okay. Everybody else is wrong, but I'm okay. So it's so important for us to do that and to be in that state of continual and progressive growth. God, help me to grow. I can't do it by myself.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, at this time, we need to, you know, thank the Lord for the opportunity to have our radio audiences all over the world that are listening tonight. We're so grateful for those who have tuned in as they do every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But it's at this time we want to ask you a question. Do you have a relationship with God? And if you don't know the answer to that, we ask you to listen as we provide an opportunity for you to have that relationship. All we're asking now is that you would confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God died and rose again, and that he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he can provide that life for you as well. And if you can say that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you ask him to forgive you of your sins and that you want to turn your life around and trust him to give you new life, you want to study the word to show yourself approved and to do all the things that God is requiring so that you can have a closer walk with him, then if you've said that prayer and you believe in your heart, we are so glad that you have joined us into the family of God, and we celebrate with you. We ask that you find
Amen.
A church home nearby that is a Bible studying, teaching congregation that can lead you into truth. And then come back again and, challenge us, work with us, divide the word with us so that we can all grow and be more like the Lord that we love and cherish. So we thank you for joining us tonight. We're excited that there are many, we believe, who have accepted the Lord tonight, and we celebrate. Next week, on October the 23rd, we will be dealing with the theme, what are the consequences of our actions, as we look at accountability of living the Christian life. May God's blessings be with you until we meet next week. God's blessings.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.